Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Exodus chapter number 3 in the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 3 in the Word of God today. And as you find your place here in Exodus chapter number 3, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter number 3. And for those of you who are visiting with us today, this is part 4 of a series now that we're in entitled the Heroes of the Faith series. The Heroes of the Faith series. And over the next several months, we're going to dive into the lives of ordinary people in the Word of God. People like you and like me who lived lives who just wanted to do the best they could, that had some high times and some low times. They went through that ebb and flow of life. And we're going to learn from these men and these women over the next several months. And this is part 4 of this series, looking at the story of Moses. Simply in a verse-by-verse context, just looking at the story of Moses. Now, comprehend and watch very carefully. Oftentimes we see individuals in the Word of God. We're kind of at this place where we're like, okay, you know, wow, they're great. It's Peter, it's Mary, Joseph. You look at the life of Noah. You look at the life of Esther or Ruth. You know, a lot of us in this room, we grew up in church. We learn these stories. We learned them as a kid. We grew up. There's some in this room who have been saved over the last couple months. So some of this that we're digging into is new, but for a bulk of us living in the Indianapolis area, we've heard these stories over and over. And if we're not careful, what we do is we approach the Word of God, and okay, it's Moses. I get it. Okay, even the picture up there is him, and we know that the sea departed, and they all went across the dry land, and we know the waters came back down and killed the Egyptians, blah, blah, blah. Okay, hurry up. We got to be out of here by, 11:45 so we get our favorite restaurant, and that's kind of our mindset. We dig in, and good, great, let's go. But hold on just a moment. What I love about these stories is in the Word of God, we begin to really dig in. We begin to understand the reason why God preserved it in His Word. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a Hallmark movie. This isn't the Disney Channel. What you and I are seeing today really took place. It really happened. And in the Word of God, it's applicable for you and I. Living as husbands and wives, living as moms and dads and grandparents, living as college students and high school students. Comprehend what the Word of God has for you and I is something great. And as I prayed earlier, it could be something of conviction. It could be something that we need to encourage in. But watch, it can't be just up to me. It can't be just up to the music leader. It can't just be up to the trio that just sang. No, it has to be up to us today. And what is right now our mindset? Is our mindset to get out of here as quickly as we can? Is our mindset that, oh, we invited somebody to come to church today and that visitor finally came, and so right now we're on pins and needles hoping that pastor preaches short and is super encouraging and that maybe they'll know the hymns today, and oh, how's it going to go, and hopefully they like it, and hopefully the power doesn't go out, or is our mindset going to be this? Lord, speak to me. God, I need you. You got to give me something today. What's our mindset going to be as we approach Exodus chapter 3 and begin reading with me, if you would follow along, in verse number 11. Exodus 3, verse number 11, the Bible says this. And Moses said, now watch, unto God. He's speaking to God, and here's what he says. Who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. The story of Moses. Let's dig in. Father, thank you, Lord, for our time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask, Savior, that you would lead and that you would guide and that you would direct. I ask, Father, that, Lord, you would just stir our hearts in such a way that we see you today and we see your word, and Lord, you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, but Father, that we would never be afraid of your conviction. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We saw last week that the demands of following God can sometimes seem overwhelming. You and I gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved us, and we know that we're saved, and one day we're going to be with Him in heaven. But there are those moments, now watch very carefully, let's not judge each other, but there are those times in life where it just seems like, okay, Lord, You really want me to step out by faith here? Okay, God, You really want me to give the gospel to this person? Okay, God, You really want me to do what You commanded me in Your word to do? At times, you and I can almost feel reluctant when it comes to serving God. And if that's any person in this room today, don't feel out of place. Don't feel like, well, I'm just nobody. I guess it's only me. No, honestly, in the Word of God, you and I are in very good company. We saw last week that it was Jeremiah that greeted God's call really with two excuses. He said, I'm too young. And to be honest, God, I'm not a very capable speaker. It was the Apostle Paul that you and I love so much in the New Testament that pondered the weighty responsibilities of ministry and even wondered, I mean, who is equal to the task? Paul stated this, he said, and who is sufficient for these things? We see the prophet Elijah that really just wanted to give up on life. We see a Jonah, and we know that story very well, that when faced with serving God said, no thank you, God. I think I'll go in the other direction. I think there's got to be somebody else that could do this task in this job. No thank you, and jumped on a ship, and to Tarshish. Moses, who we're talking about today, one of the great leaders, probably one of the greatest leaders of all time, but his immediate response to God was reluctant rather than confidence. You see, last week as we began to dive into this passage of Scripture, we saw, number one, a shocking call. Number one, a shocking call. You see, God worked through this burning bush, and His desire is for Moses to bring God's children out of Egypt. It was a very unusual call. It was not a call that you and I have seen today. You and I follow the Holy Spirit's yielding and His working. And you and I dive into the Word of God. And through the Word of God, God, He begins to speak to you and I on a very personal level. But here's Moses, and he's going to spend 40 years working for his father-in-law at the backside of this desert. And just so happened, one day this bush begins to burn, which would not have been unusual, but the bush did not burn up, and not only that, then the bush began to talk to Moses. It's actually kind of a very shocking way that God began to speak to Moses. But then now what God wants Moses to do, maybe to Moses, was probably even more shocking. Now, we're going to look at last week, and just to be honest with you, let's be superhuman for just a moment. Let's let it all out there. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if that's how God still spoke to us today? Wouldn't that be pretty neat? Is anybody with me? How many, by raise a hand, would love God to talk to us through a burning bush? Would you raise your hand? For the rest of you, you're just lying. You know it would be awesome. Lord, I don't know if I should buy this truck or not. Do you think I ought to buy this truck? I don't know why I always come to this, but it's the closest thing I'd have bush in here. Lord, do you think I ought to buy this truck or not? And the thing just starts lighting up, and here's God. You take off your shoes because you're on holy ground, and God begins to speak. Yes, my child, do not go with the Ford. Go with the Dodge or Chevy or GMC. I mean, how cool would that be? It would be so awesome. It'd be a little shocking, a little scary, but nonetheless, his shocking call came. But this morning, I want to look necessarily at the call, but I want us to look at, secondly, a shy response. Number two, a shy response. You see, Moses offers really five basic excuses to begin to explain why he did not feel qualified to be able to meet the task that God had for him. God counters each excuse with really a word of assurance. You see, we see Moses, and here's Moses' first response. He says this, who am I to do this? Look at verse number 11. This shy response, look at it in verse number 11, it says this. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, look, here's the first excuse. God, I'll just be honest with you. That sounds good. And that sounds great. Man, that's wonderful. But God, I first want to ask you just a question. Who am I? And God's response was this. It's this. I'm going to be with you. Verse number 12 states, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. And for this shall be a token of thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now listen and watch very carefully. What matters most is not who Moses is, but who God is. Excuse me, friend. It's not about Moses in the circumstance. Moses starts out by saying this. God, I understand. Okay, great. I comprehend what you want me to do. Wonderful you're talking to me through a bush. Wonderful you have this huge task for me. And you want me to go back and you want me to serve you. Okay, that's good and that's great. But God, here's the first question. And I'm not going to pose it as an excuse, but I kind of would just like to ask you, who am I? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I did? Do you know why I ran? Do you know who I work for? I mean, I'm a shepherd. I'm working for my father-in-law. Who am I to carry forth this task? And what I love, what God's response was not to immediately start building up Moses. It was not, you have a resume. It was not, I've taught you all this. And it's not, look what you've accomplished, or look how much money you brought in, or look at you know. Oh, in verse number 12, the subject immediately changes, and it's not about you, Moses, but it's all about me, God. And let's be reminded today, ladies and gentlemen, in the society and the culture that we live in, you and I have difficult times, and we have a rough road, and at times we do feel that bitterness or that hardship, or perhaps that habitual sin, or maybe that heartache or that hard time begin to come in, and we don't understand, and we don't know how we're going to go on, and we don't know how we're going to get through this trial. We don't understand. And maybe you and I stand there like Moses in verse number 11 and begin to ask, God, I just don't understand. And here's what God does. He doesn't begin to build us up. He doesn't begin to say, look, you can do this. And I've created. No, here's what he says. Let me remind you, child, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My word is 100% accurate and correct. I saved you. I'm with you. I'm going to be there in the good times and the bad times. During the storm, you're not going to be by yourself. During the hard times, you're not going to be by yourself. I'm not going to be up here yelling at you to get up and dust yourself off. No, he says this, I am never going to leave you. How many are thankful for that today? What a God you and I serve. You and I may not always have a spouse there, or a mom or a dad there, or a grandparent or a loved one or a friend or a neighbor. Look, there's some good people who have gone on before us. But friend, I don't care where you're at in your life stage today. If you are saved today, you have a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you and is walking with you every step of the way. No, the attention is not, okay, Moses, who are you? No, the attention is, look who God is. For now, I want to encourage us today. Living in 2021 is not always easy. If you've watched, I don't care what your flavor is, Fox News or CNN or CBS or ABC or MSNBC here lately, let's be honest, like it's a little bit of a dark time for our country right now. Presidents will come and go. Politics will come and go. Societies will come and go. Culture will come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And friend, you and I ought to be encouraged today that no matter where you're at in life, God is always going to be there with us. How many are saved today? Would you say amen? That means this, he'll always be with you. How many are thankful for that? Say amen today. Don't be scared of saying amen. Don't be scared. Well, it's church. Oh, but no, let's be honest. God's talking in a burning bush. This is a pretty exciting story. And I love that the thought here is not what matters most. It's who Moses is, but who God is. Friend, that ought to excite us today. But then Moses says this. He says, okay, that's great and that's good, but what if people ask me your name? Look at verse number 13. It says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? We go from, okay, do you know who I am? Yeah, I'm God, I'm going to be with you. Okay, that's good, God, thank you so much. But they're going to ask me who God is, and I'm not sure what to say. So here's what God says. God says, tell them, I am who I am. I have always existed and always will. Look at verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. That means this. Listen very carefully. God says, I am. Well, what are you? I am everything. I am a God of peace, and I am a God of joy, and I am a God of happiness, and I am a God of security, and I am a God who has always existed. And Moses, I'm talking to you today, and I'm going to put it this way. I am will always exist. And this is the same in our lives today. There may be those that ask you, I don't understand why you are so happy, and I don't understand who is it that has commissioned you in your life, and who is it that has sent you, and who what is his name that has changed your life and changed your kids and changed your grandkids? And who is it that has come in and changed your marriage? I just don't understand. Culture will look at us and maybe they'll ask the same question. We just want to know. And you and I can look at the surrounding Marion County area and we can say this. It is I am. His name is Jesus Christ. And when I met Jesus, my life changed. It changed. We're all looking for happiness, friend. Look, we can joke about, you know, we can joke about a truck, you know, Ford or Dodge or your Chevy GMC, but we're all looking for something that will make us happy. Okay, you're kind of getting a little bit of Pastor Shepherd Day. I like trucks, and I like really old trucks. You know, like I love going up to Lowe's and looking at, man, Chevy made some cool trucks like back in the 50s. I always told Gary, one day, it's probably going to be during the millennium, I'm just going to drive around an old 50 Chevy for 1,000 years. They're just the coolest. But some of you have like big trucks here. I'll never forget, we're out in the parking lot, and Dirk, I think I even used this illustration before. Dirk's out there, and no, it's Brian. Brian, you were out there in the parking lot, your big old diesel black truck, Ram, baby, it's lifted, big old tires, and it snowed out here, and here's Brian just doing all kinds of donuts out there, and then when he goes by, he just kind of revs it, almost like in your face, Pastor, not, that's not really, but a little bit, and black smoke comes out, and ooh, kind of, woo-hoo, wow, amazing, and all my kids, they're like, Dad, can you do that? In my 2013 Toyota minivan, sure, kids, let's put it in drive, baby. Rev it up. I am revving it up. Shut up, kid. We're all looking for happiness. Like every one of us. You make fun of me, I'll make fun of you. There's something in your life that'll make you happy, whether it be a new phone or new house or maybe a bill paid or you want your health back. Look, everybody in here, it's a whole book in the Word of God, Ecclesiastes, that's dedicated to finding happiness on this earth. Friend, let's put it this way. The whole world is looking for happiness, and they can search high and they can search low and they can search around every sea and every ocean. They can go to every country. They can have it all, friend, but if they don't have Jesus Christ, they'll never feel the hole and the void that's in their life. But you and I, we have a God that saved us. We have Jesus Christ that stretched out his hands on that old rugged cross and cried out, "It is finished." And at that moment, the veil was rent in two. It was paid. It's official. You and I get him, and we will receive him at that moment. Woo! We have real happiness. Might pull a Brother Habing and jump off the pulpit up here. You want to be happy? Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to put a smile on your face? Trust him. Well, I did trust him. And things don't always go my way. Isn't that just like us? Just like us. Friend, I know we go through tough times. In our economy right now, look, it's tough. This is not a political statement, but it's just the absolute absolute truth. When Carrie and I moved here in January, gas was $1.86. It's $3.25 at the same gas station. Like, it's groceries right now. It's expensive. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, they're talking about our heat bills. I heard on the radio, our heat bills are going to be, our electric bill and our heat bills is going to be high this winter. Oh, good grief. Thanks a lot, fill in the blank. I can't believe this. I told my dad this past week. I said, Dad, it's so funny. I said, we complain. And I said, here you and Mom are. You know, you're retired. You're in Florida. My wife's parents are serving God faithfully in Ohio. And I said, here we are. And the rest of the world is starving and looking for water. And we're going to complain because there's only three types of peanut butter on the shelf and instead of five. You know, we like Jif, baby, and it's not there. Thanks a lot. It's amazing what we complain about. But friends, we have it so good. We're such a blessed country and a blessed nation and a blessed people. But times are going to get harder. And you know, everything may change, but you and I still have our Savior. We can't lose Him. He's there. He sealed us. He lives inside of you and I. The Bible is very clear, friend, when it states in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Paul said it like this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Friend, I'm going to pause right here, then we're going to move on. That's all I'm going to say. If you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God is very clear that you are lost in your sin. And if you are lost in your sin and you enter into eternity, the Bible is clear that you will spend an eternity in a place called hell. Sebastian, I don't like that. It's not up to me. Well, that's why I don't go to church, because it's so, what? Fill in the blank. Convicting? As real as hell is, let me put it this way, so is a place called heaven. And heaven is where God is and where you and I will dwell for all of eternity. All we have to do, you ready for this, is be saved. You say, Pastor, it cannot be that easy. It is. It is. It is repenting of sin and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and calling upon Him to save you. It's belief in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, you call on Him. The Bible says that He will be your Savior for all of eternity. How many are thankful for that today? Say amen. What a God you and I serve. God continues to give Moses instructions. Here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to go to the elders, and I'm going to tell them, I want you to tell them, I'm going to bring all of God's people out of affliction. I'm going to bring you into a land that's flowing with milk and with honey. So here's Moses' response. He says, okay, but what if they don't? What if they don't believe me? Look at chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Chapter 4, look at verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they won't believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You got to be crazy. Look up here for just a moment. You got to be crazy. Look, I've heard stories of you, Moses. Seems like you've been gone for a long time. My parents told me some stories about you and what your mom did back in the day. It seems like you've been gone. Now you're back, and I feel like you've spent a little bit too much time on the backside of that desert, because you're talking about burning bushes, you're talking about a voice coming out of the bush, and Moses is thinking all of this through. Like, God, okay, great, you're going to be with me, and I'll go, but what if they don't believe me? Here's what God says. I'm going to give you some signs of my miraculous power. Look at verse number 2. And the Lord said, chapter 4, verse number 2. And the Lord said to him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, Well, God, it's a rod. It's a staff. I use it. And he said, cast it on the ground. So watch what Moses does. He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. It became a snake. Now, look at the last wording here. It says, and Moses fled from before it. Now, everybody look up here for just a moment. God's going to give you some signs to show them. She says, Moses, look at this bee. Do y'all see that? I'm about to mention snakes. I'm already scared of snakes, and I got bees flying at me. This is just, I'm going to need some hazard pay here, deacons, okay? It's getting out of hand. Now watch. He says, what is it in your hand? He says, it's a rod. I want you to throw that rod on the ground. So he takes that rod, and he throws it on the ground. Now, before everybody makes fun of pastor, I just want you to see what good, godly, awesome, probably the greatest leader who has ever lived, I want you to see his response in verse number 3. And Moses fled from before it. And all God's people said, yes, he ran. I'm done. Okay, God, talk to me in a burning bush that never burns up. Fine. But I am running. The guy didn't run from a bush that never burned up. The man never ran when God began to talk from the burning bush. But this just goes to show us in the Word of God how utterly wicked and disgusting and awful snakes are. It's not in the Word of God, but I'm just going to put it in there. If you have a snake as a pet, you're not saved. Like, you're just not. You're weird. Just get right with God today. I'm going to cry. I'm so passionate about it. He fled. Look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand. If this was written about Thomas, this word was said, and Thomas ran and never came back. He said, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. I love this passage of Scripture. Now listen, we'll move on here in just a moment. What I love about this passage of Scripture is that God's going to give him some signs. And it's not something crazy, it's just something that was very simple, that God looked at Moses and said this, Moses, what is in your hand? And to Moses, maybe it was just a rod. But when God enters the scene, everything changes, friend. When God steps in, let me tell you, it was not just a rod anymore. You see, when God calls us, he will give us jobs that fit our abilities. He gives you and I exactly what we need. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10 says, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That means this, listen very carefully, watch now. You and I are here for a reason. And you may think that your life is not so-and-so's life, and your life is not worth a whole lot, and your life is not someone who can sing like so-and-so, or teach like so-and-so, or preach like so-and-so. My life is not like so-and-so, where I can give so much in the offering plate. Watch very carefully. Understand this. All of us in this room, we have a calling. You have been bought with a price. You are incredible. You are beautifully created in the image of God. Friend, just you. Use whatever is in your hand. You just give it to God. Well, Brother Brian, I'm sorry for keep using your example, but, well, I can never serve God because when it snows outside, I don't have a big diesel truck that I can, and I guess God just loves Brian more than he does me. Just stop for a moment. Stop. What, are we going to live this whole Instagram life where we're just comparing our lives to everybody else's life? Go ahead. You live that life. And I'll just be super real with you today. You are going to be miserable. Well, wish I had their, what they had. Wish I could vacation like them. Well, wish I, if I had their voice, if I had their talents, if I had their money, if I just had. And God stands up here and says, look, everybody has gifts. You're all in this together. He's going to give us jobs that fit our abilities, but he also will enable us with strength beyond our own. What did Moses have? I mean, all he had was a staff. He just had a... This is wood. It's nothing special. That stick had been used maybe even for years. For what? Nothing special. Move briars out of the way. Killing snakes. Amen. You know, prodding, you know, the sheep along. Like, it's a stick. Moses, I want you to cast it on the ground. Seems pretty elemental. All right, throws it on the ground. Snake. Snake. Guy says, stop. Get over here. Pick it up by the tail. You sure about this? Just pick it up by the tail. All right. Gets over there. Whoa, come here. Stop. It's slithering. God, okay. Just, it picks it up. And guess what? I mean, it picks it up. Now I'd be like, it's a rod. Look at that. I probably would have done it a couple more times. How about you? Like, God's up there like, Moses, we got time. Lord, a couple more times. This is amazing. Look, whoa. I mean, listen, it's just me. It's just doing this. It doesn't say that in the Bible, good grief. I'm just saying, if it was me, that's what I would have done. Crosspoint Baptist, pause for a moment. The property that we're on is not because of me and you. It's because of him. The souls that have been saved, it's not us, it's him. Next week, we've got Michelle and I think others who are going to be baptized. Well, it's Halloween. Big deal. We're going to baptize people. Well, help me out a little bit. I thought that I'd get a little bit more response. I mean, God's in the saving business. Amen. We're going to baptize people. Yeah, bless God, that's because of so-and-so. No, that's because of God. It's just some people, Pastor Foe, got together and just decided to step out by faith. And look what God has done right here in the Indianapolis area. We got to do more. I feel like we need more of this type. And we need more of. We just need more of God in this place. You and I come together and realize that when we give it to God, when we give our abilities, when we give our service, when we give our lives, when we give our kids, when we dedicate it all to him, it may be just seem like a rod. It may seem like so little, but you give it to God and watch out, friend. Miraculous things take place. It's miraculous. God says, stick your hand in your coat and then pull it out. Wow, it's leprous. And then stick it back in. It's white. It's pure. It's incredible. God says, I'm going to use these abilities. He finishes with verse number 9. He says, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Wow. I mean, look, God tells us to go do something. What if they don't? Who am I? Don't worry about who you are. I am God and I'm going to be with you. Okay, but what if they don't believe me? Who do I say sent me? You tell them I am. What does that mean? That means I am everything. You just fill in the blank. You say, that's who I am. I am at all. I encompass. I am the God of the universe. Okay, that's great, but what if they still, like, don't believe that you spoke to me? Then I want you to throw your rod down. I want you to put your hand in. I want you to draw some water out. Throw it on the ground. It's going to be blood. And at this point, now watch, I think you and I would say, we're good. Like, we're good. This is it. Now, listen. I want everybody just tune in. I got time, but we're almost done. Now, don't show your Bible. We're almost done. Listen now. What if I would have said to the pulpit committee here at Crosspoint Baptist Church, I believe this is a good fit. I think there was 13 deacons at the time. Maybe I think it was 14 deacons at the time. I said, all right, 14 men, we were meeting over Zoom. And I said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I believe that God has this for Indianapolis. And they say, oh, okay, well, Pastor, just tell us why you think that. Why do you think you're called to Indianapolis? Now, Coach Shell, what if I would have said on a Zoom call, well, do you see this piece of wood right here? I use it for hiking in the desert. And I threw it on the ground, and I pointed a camera, and it turned into a snake. Now, think about it. Like, whoa, this guy's weird. This is crazy. I said, look, whoa, don't lose me. God's calling me. Gentlemen, I want you to look right here. Jesus, this is not a sleight of hand. I'm no magician. But check it out, and I put it in my coat, and I pull it out. My hand's all rotten, and it's not makeup. This is not a trick. This is not trickery. Man, the men would have been like, holy cow, this is unbelievable. I said, oh, guys, I'm not going to stop there. Just check this out. And I get some water out of the sink, and I say, check it out. And I pour it out, and it becomes Diet Coke. Wow. God's manna from heaven. Wow. Aspartame and all. They'd be like, dude, this guy, he really feels like he's caught. This is unbelievable. They probably thought I was demon-possessed, but nonetheless, wow, this is incredible. Like, I'd be okay. God, you gave me, these gifts. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take it in. Oh, Brother Yider, we're good to go. Yeah, this Pastor Shepherd's the man for us. But you know what? Moses wasn't done there. It wasn't even done making excuses. He says, Lord, okay, it's great, good. I love these things. I love them. They're wonderful. But God, how can I lead when I've never been a good speaker? Look at verse number 10. Chapter 4, look at verse number 10. He says this. And Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither here to for, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, before we jump all over Moses, you know, we're all really good with arguing with God. Before we sit here and say, Moses, it's not good enough, good grief, jump on board, just go. Just see how it goes. No, it comes up, Lord, just to be honest with you, I'm not a good speaker. I stutter. I'm in the backside of the desert. I talk to sheep. I'm talking to a bush that's burning. Like, God, you know, this is not good. I mean, this has got to be somebody else. Before we jump all over him, understand that you and I can do the same. I don't make enough. I don't have enough time. I've been too hurt. I'm too tired. I'm too shy. I'm too outgoing. Lord, I'd serve you. I'd give you my all, but Lord, you know my background. You know where I'm at. I spent time in prison. I got scars. I've been divorced a couple times. I got this sin in my life. Lord, I'm very busy. God, you know. You know I'd love to work on the spirit team. You know I'd love to. You know I'd love to help Pastor Chris. Sure, I'll get in the choir, but Lord, I'm just, oh, look, God, I'm yawning. I am so tired. I am so busy. Busy, busy. Look, we all come up with excuses. So watch what God says. God says in verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. Excuse me, I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Excuse me, what this is saying? Stop making excuses, Moses. I know who made your mouth. I know what talents you have and what you don't have. I know what you think you can do and cannot do. But let me just be honest with you, Moses. You didn't make your mouth, I did. You didn't make that rod turn into snake, I did. You didn't make your hand go to lepers, I did. You didn't make the water turn to blood, I did. I know what you can do. Stop for a moment. Now, friend, let's look up here for just a minute. Now, everybody look, watch. Look. Every one of us really can in life. We all can come to this place. We can give an excuse why we can't be a witness in this area. And God says, I want you to be a witness. Oh, God, you can't mean that. You know how nervous I am. I get to church early. I skip Sunday school just so I can sit at the back and I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't know if that's true. I'm just spitting this out there. And I sit at the back so I don't have to talk to people. And I'm nervous. I don't even like to give people my credit card. I put in the thing and I look like this. I put my pen in so I don't have to talk to the person. You know, there's no way, God, I can do this. And God says, no, I want you to. But I'm not going to know what to say. I'm going to be with you. You just pull out that track. You just do what I say. I'm going to be with you. Friend, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. It's really amazing to me that we have the very Word of God that's never been wrong. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and we still give excuses to the God who created the universe on why we can't be a witness for Him. Stop. The track racks have been moved, and the right over here, we're going to call this our missions corner. The right over here. On your way out, there's tons of invites. We got fall tracks. We've already ordered some new Christmas tracks. They're already back there. Christmas, good grief, Hobby Lobby. It's only October. Okay, I get it. But it's coming. It's around the corner. It's the most wonderful time of the year, so be quiet. Bah humbug. Grab some Christmas tracks, and let's head out. What if I don't know what to say? Friend, this is not spooky. This is the honest truth. Carrie, we've talked about this. I've been witnessing to someone before and in my mind thinking, I have no idea what to say to this person. And all of a sudden, God starts giving me verses that I didn't even know I had memorized, and it just starts coming out. I sit back and say, my goodness, what's going on here? God says, I got you. I'm there with you, child. I created your mind. I created your mouth. I gave you life. You breathe my air. Just go and do this task. Here's Moses. Oh, Moses. He says, you know, Lord, I'd still really prefer somebody else. Look at verse number 13 and we'll be done. He says, and he said, oh, my God, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. Moses says, I can't. God says, Moses, you're really trying my patience. Look at verse number 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth. And with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Verse number 16. And he shall be the spokesman unto the people. And he shall be even, watch now, even he shall be thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now pause right here and watch just a moment. He says this, Moses, okay. Oh, Moses. Your brother is a good speaker. His strengths will fill in the gaps where you feel like you are weak. Now stop making excuses and let's get your rod and let's get to work. There's two things that I really want us to look here and watch very carefully. Number one, I love this that God listens to Moses. Excuse me. Whoa. Don't somebody zipping up your Bible. I just said, I'll be done in just a moment. Now watch. A little pet peeve there. Now look. He says this. Moses, I understand what you're saying, and so I'm going to give you your brother. He's going to be a spokesperson for you. Excuse me. Look. Did God have to do that? No, he didn't have to do that. God could have said at that moment, you know what, Moses? Oh, my goodness. Forget it. Pfft, gone. Moses could have killed over dead right then. I'll find somebody else. But he didn't. He listened. You know, the God of the universe sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died for us. We have a relationship with Jesus. Do you know that we get to talk to Jesus each and every day? And it's not religion. It's a relationship. There's communication that is taking place. God wants to hear our weaknesses. God wants to hear our fears. God wants to hear where we're scared. God wants to know where we don't feel like we are adequate enough to go through with what God wants us to go through. I love that God is listening, but also God begins to teach that we are all in this together. Now listen. Watch. I'm almost done. Do you know not a person in this room, I don't even care if you're a husband or wife, not everybody agrees on everything all the time. We don't. We talked about this in Sunday school. We're not all going to agree. We have different preferences, different standards. We've got different philosophies. We think this, we think this. We don't all get along. But I reminded our Sunday school class of this today. We are all on the same team. And I may never have a voice like Brother Mancroni, and I could come up here, Brother Josh Gere, so many others, Pastor Chris, there's so many. I may never have a voice, but that does not disqualify me from serving God. I'm just going to use the talents that God's given me, and maybe it's not singing a solo, and I'm okay with that. And my talents may not be able to come up here and to be honest with you, if I tried probably for 10 minutes, I don't think I would ever be able to. I'm sorry, whoever trombone this is. I almost called a trumpet for a moment. I was racking my brain. It is a trombone. I don't know how to play this. God didn't skill me. I'm not good at it. I don't know the notes. I don't even know how to hold it. And a lot of spit comes out of these. You ever notice that? Like, it's kind of gross a little bit. We get some crying. I don't know. It's not me. Whoever's trombone this is, they're just going to use the talents that God gave them. And they may not even be as good as the other man or the other lady that plays up here beside them, but they're just going to use their talents for God. We're all in this together, friend. Let's come together. Let's serve him. Because when God says, Moses, here's what you're going to do. I can't. Yes, you will. Here's what you show them. Here's what you can do. Friend, when we put our lives and we give it to God, I want you to watch what happens and we're done. Now watch what happens. Verse number 29. Look at it with me. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Verse number 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And verse number 31. And the people believed. And the people believed. Friend, we don't have to worry about what are we going to do, how are we going to do it. Nope. Let's give it to God today. We have those in this very room. You're hurting right now. What are you going to do? You got to give it to God. Excuse me. There's marriage relationships that could be in this very room right now that's, can I put it like this, on the rocks. It's about to end. You're speaking of divorce. What are you going to do? You've got to give it to God and start trusting him. Some of us maybe have a teenager in this very room, and that teenager is wayward. What do? Well, we give up. No. We got to give it to God. How many in this room know at least one person? Now look, how many know at least one person that is lost, and if God were to come back today, they would not be called up in the rapture. They would be left here. You know one person that's lost. Would you raise your hand with me today? I know of at least one person. Raise it high and keep it up for just a moment. Raise it high and keep it up. I know one person. Okay, friend, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, it's not up to me. I guess it just, I don't even know. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to seek God's face today. What do I do? How can I be used? Son, daughter, what's in your hand? This is all I got, God. Give it to me. Let me use you.